Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything in the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. I do want to thank you for joining us, sharing us with your friends and family. We're well over a million listeners, so we're very, very appreciative of that. Folks, today I'm going to be talking about the cause and effect of U.S. debt, as well as what's happening in the world, how the world, the developed world, is saturated in debt, what it means to you, and all that. So, but more importantly today, we have a special guest. Her name is Lily Bichtiarusko. She's going to help us navigate long-term care. How is AI being used in long-term care? The what, the how, the when, all that with long-term care. So Lily, she's the Water Lily CEO and co-founder. She's a brilliant woman. She started college at 14. By 16, she was venturing into a career in aerospace engineering as an intern for NASA, something special. Now, we all know life takes its special paths. For example, me in my late 30s, I had an issue of colon cancer, so I'm relating to your story with your aunt so much. Could you just share your journey a little bit, share your story, what brought you to what you're doing today? Because you know what? Life brings us to special places. So.
Yeah, and it's a pleasure to be here on your show, Steve. So my special calling, I thought, would be aerospace engineering. I was actually discovered when I was 12, and I ended up winning an international competition. They flew me to the Kennedy Space Center, and they gave me the baby steps to essentially start working at NASA's JPL division, which is the robotic side of NASA, when I was 16. I went to college early for it, and that I thought that was my track. But as you mentioned, life just happens at you. And unfortunately, when I was 16, my aunt, who's a really integral part of our first generation immigrant family, she was diagnosed with terminal stage colon cancer. Unfortunately, she passed. But what came with that was a really brutal experience of navigating nearly 3 years of her daily long-term care needs that came from her having gone through chemotherapy, becoming incredibly frail, and she just couldn't take care of herself. We had to do her basic needs, such as bathing, dressing, you know, feeding and whatnot. And it was not only very financially devastating for us to navigate this cost that's not covered by health insurance and no one talks about it, but it bankrupted our relationships as well, because without that plan in place, we just couldn't agree on what the right care decisions for her would look like. And it severed a lot of our relationships with our extended family members, so much that we haven't spoken to them in over a decade. So I pivoted my career from aerospace into genetics and AI. I studied at Berkeley. And with that, I've led product and engineering at multiple companies before founding this business, because I just wasn't seeing it get solved well enough for families.
I actually understand the financial and family stress that goes along with diseases. And I see it more than I would like to with friends and family and some of my own clients in this world. And you know what? Everybody's well-meaning and want to help somebody, but everybody has different paths. And also when you're dealing with the financial side of things, you know, financial hardship breaks up marriage, relationships, families, the whole shot, just because of the hardship. And when you're looking at, hey, we're trying to take care of somebody here, but we're also trying to put food on the table, it's very, very tough. So I commend you for what you're doing. So, you know what, let's just start talking. I'd like to, you know, one of the big questions our listeners have is, you know, everybody hears about AI. They hear about what's going on. They see ChatGPT and all that kind of stuff. But how is AI being used in the field or the sphere of long-term care?
Fantastic question. So we are a first mover in this space, leveraging a lot of different AI use cases to improve the quality of life that families go through when they think about planning for long-term care, or if they're in the thick of navigating it, both the care and the cost. And so there's two types of AI that matter in any industry, and we leverage for this industry since my technical background's in machine learning and AI, which is one powerful use case of AI is prediction, which is how can we predict what the future might look like based on individuals that look like us. So we do predict how families may navigate long-term care based on households we already know, went through long-term care and their cost and their care, as a way to kind of start the conversation. The second type of AI that we built out is probably the more popular one when we think of ChatGPT and large language models, which is automating manual tasks, such as doing research or Googling online. And instead, all that work is done for you right then and there. Or you have a support system that is now what they call an AI agent. Those answers come pretty much automatically. So we use various types of automations in our system to help analyze policies. If you already bought a policy, if you're thinking about buying an insurance policy on this topic, we also help automate, looking at different investment strategies. If you want to self-fund, you're thinking about using the home, or you're looking at other types of financial products, or even retirement communities. So we really read through the fine print, the strategy, and make it incredibly simple to understand money in and money out in terms of whatever strategy you're considering. So those are two fundamental ways we use AI to predict and to analyze what might be the best kind of choice in your
opinion. So I have one question, and I know our listeners, so they're going to ask us, you know what, when you say what we look like, meaning what does that mean?
Yeah, I love that question. So we have a 3-minute intake survey to help us understand your profile, which includes asking some social demographic questions, financial questions, and health and medical questions, and a little bit of family history.
Okay. So basically, you're looking to profile people based off the family genetics, which is very important when it comes to long-term care. I mean, my family lives into their 90s, others don't. And the economics that go along with it. You said health history.
Yes. So we ask questions like, where do you live? Where are you planning to live? How old are you? Do you have any kids? We ask about your household structure. What's your net worth? What is your annual salary? Health questions wise, we asked, are you diagnosed with anything that we should know about? Do you have diabetes? Do you have high blood pressure? You know, what's the reading on that? And, have your parents navigated long-term care? Do they have dementia? Whatever else. So we ask those questions because we look at the half a billion data points that we have on families that already navigated long-term care. And we try to look at the look-alike households to yours to not tell you as a crystal ball, this is exactly what's going to happen, but a whole lot better than just using national averages. Here, set of households that we summarized on, you know, this is what their trajectory looks like. So we're going to show you that one to kind of build out your plan on.
So that it better enables somebody to plan. Because back in the day, people just to say, you know what, I have to get long-term care. I'm going to get the 4 years. I'm going to get this. I'm going to spend that much because these are the averages.
Yes, exactly. And what we're finding is no one wants to engage on averages. Everyone wants to know their own personalized story. And we found that to be really powerful.
Well, the fact of the matter is long-term care is not cheap. And if you're overpaying, it's very expensive, and it could change your lifestyle in retirement if you're looking to afford that. And then, you know, the biggest concern is, hey, I got this long-term care policy and I die. I just spent all this money on it and I can't use it. So that's one of the big issues. But the other thing is the support you talk about. So somebody can actually go search, get the answers they're looking for, because you're already doing the searches and providing the information.
We instead of, you know, having to know what questions you have coming in, we just guide your entire story. Once you fill out a 3-minute intake survey, we answer the core questions you know you're going to have on your trajectory. Your likelihood of getting care, what age it'll occur at, how long that event will be for, and then the progression of those communities. How many hours of care are you going to start off with and end with? And we even predict, how long are you going to be at the home for, or when are you going to go into potentially like facilities care? And from there, you might already have an existing policy or thinking about a policy. You could just upload that. And in 30 seconds, we modeled that policy to your predicted claim scenario and that cost.
Wow, that's wonderful, because most people, they don't think about, you know what, when I start having memory issues, I probably might need somebody in my house to help me in you know, senior care for a few hours a day. But that amount of care is going to expand as I get older and I have more health issues or more mental issues. And most people don't realize that. They just think one day they're going into this place and they're going to get put in there. And the next thing you know, I'm going to be here until I die. That's really, very cool. Okay. Hey, folks, we just got started with this with Lily. We're going to be right back. Stick with us. We'll be more with Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. We're talking the what, when, where, why, and how of long-term care with Lily. Bitterusical. You know what? We were just talking about the impact of AI on predicting models and how long people would have to need long-term care, costs, and so on and so forth, and also to get the information they need. But now we're going to be talking about, hey, what is long-term care? What does it actually do for you? How does it operate? So Lily, could you fill us in on that?
Yeah, I know that there's kind of technical terms online, and I don't like to use them. I like to keep things in layman terms. I think of when we think of long-term care needs, we naturally think of our grandparents and parents that are getting older, where they want to age at the home, but you're starting to notice they start to struggle with being able to cook by themselves or being able to take a shower and whatnot. And so long-term care, by definition, is needing help with, one to two out of the six ADLs are called activities of daily living. But that basically just means you need help with bathing, dressing, eating, toileting, incontinence, and getting in and out of bed. So just basic things that we take for granted when we're independent, we're strong, we're healthy. When we become older and more frail, we're going to need help with that on a daily basis, multiple hours of that. But you're not going to immediately have all those needs all at once. As you grow frail, you need help with maybe one or two of those. Then maybe, you know, increase it to three to four to five to six, as you need help with all of those. And needing help with all of those activities is what most folks know as, you know, really intense care. And that's where folks usually go into a nursing home in order to get that 24/7 around the clock care for those, you know, needs that you have on almost on an hourly or basis, if not shorter.
Okay. So typically, can you kind of like walk through the progression of what somebody might be needing from, you know, when they start realizing, hey, I need a little help? You know, what does that look like? Is that somebody come into a house? Is that having the senior center, or is that, how does that look? And then some people want all the care at their house. Some people are okay with a care facility or community care, retirement community. How do those all work?
I think that's such a fantastic question. So I break up long-term care kind of into two pieces, what people kind of assume it is, which is needing help with housekeeping, for example. Like I think folks start to think of long-term care needs is when they start to have almost like pre-long-term care needs. And those are kind of known as IADLs, which is needing help with Being able to use the phone, being able to do your laundry, being able to drive, go grocery shopping, those are kind of the initial sets of needs where like, oh, we might have someone help us, with housekeeping and with chores and whatnot. That's not quite long-term care just yet, but that's when folks start to think about, oh, I might need, what if I need help with more things with my kind of personal care? Meaning, like I just talked about, personal care is what long-term care really, is in this case, which is getting help with your physical, getting physical caregiving help with bathing, dressing, eating, toileting, et cetera, like your personal needs, and someone might touch you and whatnot. So that's where things get quite a bit more intense, and it's not as voluntary. It's not as infrequent as I only need to go grocery shopping, twice a week. If you start needing help with your personal care needs, usually what we see is that you start needing help with getting, in and out of the shower. Like being able to take a shower is probably one of the first things that you need help with. And bathing or getting in and out of bed, it's starting to get hard. You might not feel like you have the muscles for it. That's where either your kids or you might hire some professionals that you feel comfortable touching you that can help get you in and out of bed, in and out of the chair, in and out of, the shower, or help bathe you. That's the usual care needs that we start off with. And then usually as you have kind of chronic care needs, then that's when I need help with being able to use the bathroom as well, or you might have incontinence issues. And so it usually kind of stacks on each other. You need help with like one or two things, and then you kind of grow in more and more personal care needs that you might have. So that's long-term care.
Okay. So where does it like, a lot of people are saying, my mom's starting to forget where the password is, where her phone is. What she needs to sign or where she needs to sign, or have a conversation with her about something and she's going to do something. And, at 40, 50, 2 hours later, at the end of the day or the next day, she forgets that she's got to do that. So where does that mental side of it come in? Is that,
I love that question as well, because that's what most folks' biggest worry is, right? Which is, cognitive decline, getting dementia. And so what's interesting is that, when our parents or our grandparents are having cognitive issues, like they don't know what their bank account is, they don't know what their password is, they don't know where they left the keys, that is a serious symptom of someone that might not be safe to be independent. It's not always having those personal care needs just yet. It's a matter of like, are they going to be safe by themselves? Do we need someone to monitor them as well? And that's where you might have professionals come to the home to be able to monitor them. And usually what comes with that cognitive decline is also decline of their physical care needs. It initially starts with forgetting things, but usually when your brain is not functioning healthily, then all of a sudden you forget to be able to do basic things. You forget to be able to take a shower or remember to take a shower more frequently. You forget, how to use your muscles to get in and out of bed or to even eat. So that's why cognitive decline is a really important indicator or symptom of how they might have personal care needs as well in the future, and how you might need professionals or family to kind of come and observe this person to start before they have care needs, to see when that might happen. And also you want to get ahead of that as soon as possible, because what we take for granted is we're able to make financial decisions by ourselves and our own care decisions. But when you have cognitive decline and you don't have the appropriate legal documents in place, all of a sudden you as a daughter, you see, what you as a son or daughter realize, mom can't drive herself anymore, or mom shouldn't be, accessing her bank account by herself. That's where setting up a separately on the legal side, when you see the cognitive issues, having a conversation with mom or dad or the in-laws about, who do you feel comfortable with taking, managing your finances? Who do you feel comfortable with managing care decisions for you before you have too much cognitive decline where we can't step in anymore? It would be actually difficult for us to make those decisions legally on your behalf without that documentation in place.
So the one question I have, and I actually love what you're talking about here. There's been numerous occasions where I've heard about or know of people who've gotten to the point where they're driving and they're in the middle of an intersection and forgot where they were, and it scared them. So they just wanted to get out of the intersection, and they hit the gas and ended up hitting somebody and getting in an accident. And I've heard about that a few times, and then people realize, okay, I think it's time for mom to go out, but mom doesn't still wants to live on her own. So how do they broach that discussion of getting mom to realize you need help, you need somebody to do this for you, or you need to be moving somewhere else?
Usually the best way to have that conversation is ahead of time. It's ahead of it. That's why this is, that's why I love this conversation, because it's all about creating awareness for a really prevalent problem and trying to get ahead of it. Because if you're in the thick of it, if you want to wait until mom or the in-laws start to have cognitive issues, that is the hairiest time to bring up that conversation, because that's when they're really scared. That's where they're really vulnerable. Is someone going to take care of them? But if you could get ahead of that, where they're in their 70s or relatively healthy, and you ask them the hypothetical, hey, mom, hey, mom-in-law, like I really care about you, and I want to make sure you're taken care of. Like, if there's a case in which you might get lost while you're driving, and we start to notice, you know, you have issues getting back home, I want to make sure you get home safely. What do you want us to do in that case? So I would say, like, wait, ask the hypothetical and ask them, what do you want to happen? Ask for their preference. And that's usually a really great way to kind of get a sense of their preference, whether I want you to step in, or, you know, I really want to go into this retirement community. And then now you can ask the next logistical question, which is, can I take on the hours to do that? Or can we financially afford to do that? So it's just a linear progression, really, of just hypothetical. Ask them what they would like, and then ask them, are there limitations on what they would like that we should also talk about?
I think that's wonderful, because basically what you just said is ask the hypothetical so they can tell you what they want, as opposed to telling them this is what's going to happen, because that's obviously a scary thing. And the other part is, we're moving in the next segment, and we're going to talk about costs and all those type of things and planning for retirement. So folks, I truly want to thank you for tuning in. I appreciate for letting us, sharing us with your friends and family and associates of the show. I want to encourage you, you know, all the replays are available on savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss the show. Please check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Network, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, AMFM 710, E360 TV, and Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to live a life of personal financial freedom, uplift your life, and you know what? Solve some problems for you. Now, if you'd like to follow us, you can go to the Facebook page at Saving with Steve Sexton, check out our insider group, get replays, the whole shot. But I really want to get back to Lily. Lily's talking to us about long-term care. Next, we're going to be talking to about how should we be planning for long-term care, the retirement planning, the money, the dollars and the cents and all that. So Lily, let's start with like the hard and fast question is, you know what, when should people start talking about planning for long-term care?
I love that question. So ideal age is 40 to 60. That's also the same time as when you plan and learn where your cost is. That also is the age range where you're going to have the highest leverage financial products at your disposal to review as well.
Okay, so when you talk about highest leverage financial products, what does that mean?
That means the minimum amount of dollars you need to put in to get a maximum amount of coverage out.
Okay, and then it also gets people to think about this in the context of their retirement. So if they need to save more, they have the time to do it and things like that. Okay, awesome. So we've got the time. Now, how should people be looking at long-term care in the context of their retirement?
Again, another fantastic question. It is the biggest risk to your retirement plan. It is easily for folks that are in their 60s today. It is high six-figure, low seven-figure digit numbers right now in terms of out-of-pocket cost. That traditional health insurance is not going to take care of, and Medicare is not designed to take care of as well. So how are you going to manage that risk? That is the ultimate question here. It's not just about being in your 40s to 60s and you're getting ready for retirement. You're feeling really great about it, and you're feeling really great about a couple million dollars or high six figures that you're saving, but it's about how do you protect that wealth that you just spent decades building?
Mm-hmm. It's, hey, you didn't build it to lose it. So you built it to use it. So you do it right. So let's just talk about, there's a big misconception about what Medicare actually covers. Do you know what Medicare actually covers?
So Medicare actually covers, I think that most folks are familiar with the base, like a plan, Part A and Part B. And of course you can, and that includes like the basic, like physician's visit, hospital stays and whatnot. But then you could think of sort of the additional things, you know, on top of that. Most folks know that as Medicare Advantage, or there's also Part D in terms of prescription and being able to get your prescription covered. And a lot of folks assume that when they have aging care needs, they're like, oh, naturally, you know, when I retire, I might have, you know, more care needs in the future, and I might have chronic care needs. Yes, that might be largely managed if it's, you know, medical related, but long-term care is non-medical related care that is only taken care of if it is coming in tandem with a medical event, such as you fell down the stairs, you broke a hip, you went to the hospital, now you have to get, you know, surgery and rehab and whatnot. Any sort of personal care needs that you need on top of the medical care needs you have, yes, is taken care of by Medicare. But long-term care, after you even have, you know, fallen down, broken your hip, went through surgery, you usually are going to have chronic personal care needs that come with that, or just naturally as you age and you become more frail, you might just have personal care needs that aren't coming from an acute and traumatic medical event. That is not taken care of by Medicare. That is something that is out of pocket for you to spend, or an out of pocket amount of caregiving hours or expense that your kids might take on.
I think that's a wonderful way you put that, an acute event. So most people don't realize, hey, you fall down, break your hip, they're going to help you get back to where you were before, but that's it. But if you're already there with an incontinence issue, a memory issue, and all that stuff, Medicare isn't designed to cover that. They're designed to repair you, rehabilitate you, and move you on, and then you're off it. So a lot of people don't realize that it's, you know, you're looking at something that might cover you for 90, 100 days, but that's it. And then you're off on your own. So it's very important that people understand that it's only limited with Medicare. So after that is the actual cost that you're going to need. Now, some people say, hey, you know what? My kids will take care of me. Okay. And what a lot of people don't realize is the burden that you put on your kids when they take care of you and stuff like that, because long-term care in some cases can be 24/7. You, or even if it's 12 hours a day, your child is giving up their life to take care of you. Is that really, go ahead.
I just wanted to add, I can't help but emphasize that. And that is why in our system, what we did is as a part of preparing for long-term care needs, we actually predict how many hours your family members are going to be stepping in by default based on households that look most like you. And then they see the hourly commitment and how that grows over time. And I can't help but emphasize enough that it's not just that Medicare is not going to take care of traditional long-term care needs, especially if it's not associated with acute events, but is specifically intentionally designed to not take care of your long-term care needs, your personal care needs that you're going to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? It's interesting. States understand this. In many states like Washington, they are already giving tax deductions or reductions or credits, providing you have your own long-term care. And my understanding is California is doing the same thing. We're trying to do the same thing. And many other states are looking at that because they know the burden that's going to be there for Medi-Cal Medicaid if somebody's not there. One of the other things that I wanted to add here was, you know what, I wanted to ask, you know what, when we're, you're saying, hey, it could be high six figures, low sevens to cover somebody's long-term care 24/7. And you have family that's stepping in. Sometimes family keeps, you know, they don't realize how involved they are. Do you have any statistics on what's the likelihood of a family member needing long-term care if they've already taken care of a family member's long-term care, so to speak, that pressure and the stress of watching somebody decline over years before they pass away? It's almost like 1,000 deaths. Does that make sense?
Oh, that makes a ton of sense, which if I understood you correctly, when someone becomes a caregiver for their parents or their in-laws or their loved one, how does that increase their chances of also having a long-term care event themselves, like that pressure onto them, if I understood that correctly?
Yes, you did.
So We that's I that's a really fantastic question. I don't have the exact numbers off the top of my mind, but I will give you numbers that are relevant to kind of to this question, which is statistically on average, every single household is going to go through a serious form of a long-term care event, meaning they're going to need help with 2 out of the 6, daily activities that I just talked about, like bathing, dressing, eating, etc. And we've noticed a trend where if someone steps in as a caregiver, we see that increases their statistical likelihood of having a serious form of a long-term care event as well. So just imagine in your household, one of you, whether it's you or your partner, is going to have a pretty serious form of a long-term care event. And imagine that likely increasing even higher. And there's a good chance that you both might need care, like long-term care needs as well. And so there shouldn't be a reason why you, as a part of one household, statistically, should not think about long-term care, whether it's for yourself or for your spouse or it's for your loved ones. So mainly wanted to mention how there should be absolutely no reason why you don't think about it and you don't talk about it because there's a very good chance that it may happen to you.
It'd be a smart thing to have a family meeting. And I just keep thinking about, you know what, somebody who works as a caregiver in long-term care, they get to go home after an 8 or 10 hour day. They get to disconnect from it all. But if you're a family member, you never really disconnect because you're always there and it's your relative. So you're watching them, you're helping them every single day. So the stress, both mentally and physically, are at a new level. So I just, you know, think very carefully how you're going to do that if you want a family member to take care of it, because most people don't realize, they just assume or don't know what's really involved because they've never done it themselves.
The key thing here, exactly to what you just shared, is if your parents or in-laws don't have a plan, you are the plan, essentially. And what does it look like for you to be the plan? We see on average, roughly 20 to 30, that's, our parents or in-laws, when they start having long-term care needs, whether it's in their late 70s or 80s, and usually in the late 80s is roughly where we see folks starting to have like pretty serious long-term care needs. They start roughly needing kind of care hours of 25 to 30 hours a week to start, and then that grows easily to 65 to 80 hours of care per week. And if you're the plan, just think about that. That either means that you have a part-time job, a pretty serious part-time position, taking care of your loved ones, your parents or in-laws, and it grows into 2 full-time jobs over the span of roughly like 3 to 4 years. Can you even, like, how long can you actually do that for? And if you are dreading even the thought of that and realize, well, I can't even have a job, that is true. Many caregivers leave the workforce, leave their financial potential to go take care of their loved ones. And we've seen unfortunate, skill set gaps that occur just in the short span of a few years when they try to come back into the workforce. And one is like they're burnt out. You need time after you take care of a loved one to before you even enter into the workforce. But also two is like, do you now have to take time to create that relevant skill set, especially in light of a fast-changing world today with AI?
And you know what? What's really interesting, and then we're going to take a pretty quick break because one of our viewers typed in, and basically said, she goes, "I spent 5 years taking care of my mom, and it became just like you said, a few hours at the beginning, then it was 80 hours. But my other siblings who didn't live in the area had no clue what was involved, and they just, like kind of expected that I'd do that. And then when mom passed, and it was time to distribute everything, they had a fit because mom wanted to give more to her and less to them because she was the one that was there to take care of her. And it was this big thing with the feud with her brothers and sisters until they listened to something like this and said, "God, I didn't have any clue what it was going through." Because quite frankly, people don't realize it becomes a multiple job situation. You don't have a job. She left her job so she can take care of her mom because she was the closest one, and nobody else could or would wanted to do that. They just expected her to do it. So it was very interesting. So, folks, stick with us. We're going to right back with more Lily and Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I have Lily Vitruvsko. We've had a wonderful conversation about long-term care. And you know what? In this next segment, I really want to talk about the family dynamic. And you know what? I'm just going to refer to, there's a number of emails that we received from our viewers, from people who provided care to a mom or a dad, but had three or four brothers and sisters or two brothers and sisters who might not have lived in the area. So the care fell on them. The fact of the matter is the care increased over the years or over the months to the point where they're doing 40 hours a week. So they had to get rid of their job. And then pretty soon it's almost 24/7. So it's like an 80 hour a week type job. And the kids that aren't there don't understand. And they're still out traveling and doing their retirement stuff while the one that's close to home, close to mom, is taking care of it. So I think it really makes sense to understand what is the financial impact? What do things really cost? So those brothers and sisters who are not in the area could understand the impact that that one sibling who's taking care of mom, how it really makes a difference financially and so on.
Absolutely. So I can't help but just dive into this piece because this is the one piece that emotionally is so triggering to talk about, which is not being seen by your siblings, not being seen by the household with the amount of effort that you're taking in. And when we predict the cost of long-term care, we break it up into three buckets, which is if you needed care today, in today's dollars, what it costs today. And we also add on healthcare inflation. So if you don't need care today, especially for folks who are in their 40s to 60s today, because of healthcare inflation, that cost will actually grow year over year over year. So how do we track that? So we also add in healthcare inflation. And the last piece is family caregiving. How much money do you save if your family members step in by default? And so we actually see them, future dollar savings of hundreds of thousands of dollars when the family steps in, or when usually a primary caregiver, the daughter oftentimes steps in to take on that care herself. And that cost isn't even in her competitive rate of how much she was earning in her salary, in her job. We base that cost off of the fact that she's replacing a minimum wage individual that is taking on those physical caregiving needs. And so it's not only just the fact that she's saving mom hundreds of thousands of dollars, but she's also losing hundreds of thousands of dollars, and even more than that, of earning potential than if she stayed in the workplace. And that's not even accounting for, she now has to enter back into the workplace. How much more money is it going to cost for her to upskill? How much time is it going to take for her to get back into the workforce, get a job again, especially in this market? So I just can't help but emphasize for folks that, you know, may not be the primary caregiver, to really empathize with your siblings that do end up being that caregiver. And if you could step in financially to help pay for some hours for a professional step in so your sibling doesn't burn out, is, I think, you know, the least that we can at least consider in this case.
I think, you know, what a lot of people don't realize when you talk minimum wage, let's just say it's $20 an hour. That means a caregiver may make $40,000 a year. But you know what? You're at a $120,000 a year job that you just gave up. So, you know what? You're looking at $60 an hour or $40 an hour that that sibling's not getting paid, that they can't use to save for their retirement, and they're just giving that up. So I think it's important to understand, hey, they're giving a lot more than just money. They're giving their time. They're giving their self-worth. They're giving away their identity to helping out somebody they love and care about, which is their mom. And many times it's just because they're closest.
And this is where I just go back to, we have to prepare. We have to plan, because no one really wants to be thrown into that situation without being asked, without context being shared to them, that gives them flexibility and freedom to, preserve their identity a little bit. Like, am I a caregiver type of person versus thrown into that identity, and you go through an identity crisis? And so, for the sake of quality of life for the household and for our relationships, we do need to plan and prepare, and that's exactly what we do in order to maximize, positive outcomes on this really difficult.
I will say this: I was in one meeting, and it was a family meeting, and we posed the question of what's going to happen if you need help at home, and the father just said, "Joey's going to take care of it." And Joey went, "What? Am I?" And he goes, "Think again. We're moving." And then shocked everybody. Hey, I'm not going to be around here, so you're going to have to find somebody else. And that was a big eye opener to parents might assume that this is going to happen when it's not. Kids might assume somebody else is going to take care of when it's not. So you always need to be prepared regardless of what happens. So, when we talk about preparing, we have about, 5-6 minutes left. I'd like to talk to you about financially. How does somebody set aside, okay, it's either a policy or I'm going to self-fund? Is it almost like, if it's self-funding, is it creating a bucket, or is it creating a bucket to fund that policy? What's the best way to look at that there, Lily?
Love that question. The best way, there's probably some pre-work here where you first need to understand, not from national averages, people that don't look like you, but really trying to look at a couple of variables to understand what your cost is even going to look like, because that's when you learn if you have a shortfall or you're actually covered in this case. But once you learn, what costs you want to cover, then the highest leverage vehicles that we see in this space oftentimes tend to be continuous care retirement communities, type A specifically, where you get a lump sum of money upfront, a good chunk, and then you pay a monthly fee, and then they cover all of your kind of comprehensive care needs. We see that end up having a really high ROI in terms of how much money cumulatively that you're putting in relative to how much that community is going to be paying out for you and for the cost of those needs. Another vehicle that we've noticed to be high leverage is insurance vehicles. That is a hard topic, and we make it very, very easy. All I'm going to say is, outside of our system, it's a hard topic. You could probably find the wrong, you might get recommended the wrong types of products that don't make sense for your situation, because it's not personalized. Whoever is helping you build out that plan, just make sure it's personalized, to you and the policy. Ask them, why is it personalized to me? Why does it make sense? And alternatively, in case you don't know where you're going to live when you retire, or you're worried about putting money into a policy that may never pay out, one is that there actually are policies today that will pay out no matter if you have a long-term care event or you do have a long-term care event. But that's a topic for another time. And the third piece is around self-funding. Many folks think about self-funding. There's nothing wrong with self-funding. It just oftentimes tends to be lower leverage, lower ROI than considering specialized vehicles on long-term care, such as retirement communities or insurance vehicles. But when you think about self-funding, a lot of folks today, optimally planning for it looks like figuring out which accounts. Usually have an IRA or a brokerage account where you might want to earmark a certain amount of money there and not touch it. You're not going to go on the most expensive cruise every single year with that bucket of money. You're going to hold on to it. And you have to make an assumption then on, like, are you still contributing to on a monthly basis? And what, how do you think it's going to perform? Usually it's like money in the market. Like, do you think it's going to perform at 6% ARR, 7% ARR? And what is the capital gains tax on that? So that's actually pretty basic. You use some pretty basic calculators online to figure out with whatever money you want to start with, what are you going to end up with, and match that to what your future long-term care cost is and any potential shortfall.
That's wonderful. And I do have one question for you in reference to the policy. You talked about making sure it's a fit for you. What kind of questions should somebody ask if they're talking to somebody about a policy? Somebody says, here's the policy. What should you be asking?
Oh my goodness. I probably need to write up more and talk about more about this particular topic. The first piece, of course, obviously is financial suitability is what they call it, which is even if you find the highest ROI policy where the money in, where you, the money being put in is maximizing the amount of coverage that you get out. What if like some policies cost $100,000 or $10,000 for 10 years? A lot of people can't afford that. You might find a lower ROI policy that you can't afford, which is more traditional LTC policies that where you pay $50 or a few hundred, like $50 to like low, like $100 every single month. In the case that you might have that event. So learn what you can actually financially afford to put aside to save for this, to protect this risk. The second question is, learn what are the biggest limitations in this policy. Oftentimes, it's usually around inflation protection. So as similar to how your long-term care costs are going to grow through inflation, is this policy also inflating? Is there some sort of 1% inflation protection or 3% or 5% or CPI index? Like learn it, like oftentimes I'll see a higher ROI with some form of inflation protection. And the last one is in a policy, the biggest limitations that we oftentimes see is not with a maximum, the max coverage amount. It is, which everyone markets all the time. Oh, it's a 2 million max benefit. It's a 1 million max benefit. That doesn't matter. That's kind of that is kind of waving hands, like kind of like hands in front of your eyes, pulling wool over your eyes. What matters more is actually the max, the daily benefit. What is the max daily benefit? It'll pay out for the home, that it'll pay out for assisted living, that it'll pay out for nursing home level care. And is this policy portable? If you were to live outside of the country as well, can this policy also pay out then? Is it reimbursement based? Or are they going to give you a lump sum of money, which it's called indemnity? So those are some factors to consider, but we remove all of that complication within Water Lily because I get so frustrated. Like, why do they need to know what indemnity means? When in truth, you know, a planner such as yourself, Steve, we can do it. We could do the spreadsheets. We could do the math ourselves. And this platform does the math for the professionals. So that simply put, it's telling the client, I looked at tens of thousands of options for you, and this is the one where we know you could afford it. And two is it's going to have the highest ROI and is more competitive to self-funding. Those are really the key questions that we're trying to answer from a financial perspective.
That's perfect, Lily. Now, how can people get a hold of you?
Super simple. Like the flower, the company is called Water Lily. And you could find us at waterlily.com. So if you put that into any browser, we'll pop up and you could go ahead and join our wait list. I personally take on one out of every 100 consumers today, and I reach out and I want to serve free of charge. And so I have a little over 100 clients underneath me that I've helped out on this topic. But otherwise, if you want to get matched to a professional that is proficient on our Water Lily system, we can also match you there. But the cost, you should not be paying, you know, anything like upfront to try to get access to this platform.
Well, thank you so much, Lily, at waterlily.com. Folks, I want to thank you so much, Lily. This has been wonderful. It's been eye-opening, aha-ing, and that's the best part of having you here. So I want to thank you so much. Folks, you want to go to waterlily.com to get information. You might not be able to be connected with Lily, but you might be able to be connected with one of her associates that can help you. So with that, I want to thank you for joining us today. I want to thank you for Lily, the CEO of Water Lily. They're a great, wonderful help. You want to go to waterlily.com to get the information that can help you with long-term care. With that, I want to thank you all for joining us. Look forward to seeing you next week right here on Saving with Steve. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.